Nothing gives me more pride than when like other parents look at her, they're like, wow, like my kid would have been falling right there. I'm like, yeah, she's tough like daddy.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
Are you feeling the effects of putting everything in life before your own health and wellness? It's so common to prioritize work, family, or any other stressor over attending to the most important relationship you have, the one with yourself. Hi, I'm Kat, a holistic nutritionist, personal trainer, and co-founder of Alta Coaching. I entered the wellness industry with one mission, to empower individuals to take proactive action towards their health. Because traditional healthcare is just not cutting it these days. When you sign up for Alta Coaching, everything you need is in one easy-to-use app. You get a personalized nutrition guide with target macro goals, suggested meal plans, customized food lists, and dozens of resources so you always know what to eat and why. You'll receive a custom fitness program, which includes video instruction and feedback from your trainer. Between scheduled phone calls, check-ins, health questionnaires, and unlimited access to your coaches in the app, you'll have the support you need every step of the way. If you are waiting for the day you have the time and motivation to get started, you'll be waiting for a long time. Instead, take action today by visiting www.altaforlife.com and schedule a free consultation call with me. Mention Art of Fatherhood when you book a call and get your first month free.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very lucky to have this gentleman on. It's none other than Duff Goldman. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, looking forward to chatting with you about the Spring Baking Championship. This comes up on March 4th. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of other great stuff, but I like bringing good guys like yourself to talk about their fatherhood journey. When you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, man?
Here we go. I think one of the biggest things was like, you know, there's no manual for it. I mean, obviously there's been millions of books written about how to be a dad, but there's no manual and you just got to figure it out. I was like, okay, like I'm scared, but I have an amazing wife. We're going to figure this out. Right? We got this.
Nice. No doubt, man. And talk a little bit about, I'm guessing, creativity, but talk about some of the other values you're looking to instill into your daughter as she's growing up.
I think first and foremost, just kindness. Just be kind. You know, I tell you, it's that was a hard lesson for me to learn. And I sometimes wonder, like, how I was sort of taught the importance of kindness, and whether I was taught the importance of kindness, or whether that was just a lesson that you just have to learn for yourself, you know? And so I want to, you know, I don't want to force her to be kind. I want her to understand why it's important to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, yeah, because if you just like, oh, be kind, you know, share your stuff, and, you know, you don't want to let them be walked on, but you're like, oh, just be kind. But if you let them understand why and let them experience, you know, the whole idea of like treat others like you want to be treated. I know sometimes sound cliche, but there's some reasons behind that phrase, right?
Yeah. There's a reason cliches are cliches. It's funny. Like the older I get, the more I realize that. Like, you know, I've heard that a million times and it just, you sort of become, you know, numb to it. And then you sort of hit a point and you realize like, oh yeah, stop and smell the roses. I get it. You know, I can get it.
No doubt. Right? No doubt. Because, yeah, and like the grass is greener. Like my kids are, so I have two daughters, 15 and 13. They're like, oh, I wish I could do this. And I'm like, you're right. And I'm like, no, you don't. Trust me. You're where you are at right now is good. Just trust me. Enjoy this time.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There's a lot of that where you're like, all right, I have had a pretty wild just ride so far. Right. You know, I've experienced, you know, more than the average human. It's going to be hard to be like, no, trust me, that's not, no, you don't want it to know. Like, because like, I was the kind of person, I was like, listen, you can tell me a million times not to do this. I'm going to do it. Yeah. And I'm going to find out for myself. Yeah, that sucks. Right. That, like, I shouldn't have done that, but I need to learn that for myself. And I think, I don't know, being Gen X, like I feel like I'm going to be good at, you know, sort of teaching my daughter that stuff. Cause we, you know, we were a little more like, you know, would you fall off a tree? You're right. Yeah. All right. Get back in the game. You know what I mean? Like,
No, yep. Like, I'll rub some dirt on. You'll be fine. You're good. You're good.
Right. Where my wife is a millennial, she's just got like it's just a generational thing. She has a very different take on like childhood injuries. You know what I mean? And like, you know, like sort of how to respond to them. But like, you know, I've been sort of working with both of them. And now my daughter's three, by the way. And now, like, man, she can like eat it on the asphalt and like she'll get up and like and then just beast it out and get right back in. Nothing gives me more pride than when like other parents look at her, they're like, wow, like my kid would have been bawling right there. I'm like, yeah, she's tough like daddy.
Love it too. And also too, it's about the presentation. They fall down, they look up and they turn around and be like, if you're like freaking out, like, oh, if he's freaking out, I get to freak out too, right? But if you're like, you're good, you're like, yeah, I guess I am, right?
Yeah, total. That's 100%. Like, you know, that was like the one of the talks that my wife and I have. Like, listen, when she falls, when she don't lose your cool, because if you lose your cool, she's gonna know, like, oh, I'm gonna get a whole bunch of candy and sympathy and all these hugs. It's gonna be great. So I'm gonna cry. You know? She gets plenty of candy and hugs and all that good stuff.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. Talk about something that your daughter has taught you, either about yourself or about life, that maybe you didn't know was there until you became a dad.
That's interesting. I think it's a great question. I think not so much that she sort of like taught me these things, but she's definitely re-taught me some stuff where like I'm a generally pretty silly person, right? My life is pretty frivolous and you know, we do lots of silly stuff because I'm a silly guy. Well, what do you want? And I feel like she's really helped me get back in touch with the roots of like why I find life so why I'm so enthusiastic. You
Yeah.
know, I think, and I tell people this all the time, like enthusiasm truly is like the key to life. You're enthusiastic about whatever it is that you're doing, you're gonna go really far, whatever it is. Or you're just really gonna enjoy it. But you know, if you're enthusiastic, and I think that my daughter has really helped me get back to like, you know, hey, we gotta feed the birds. And she's like, we're gonna feed the birds. You know, like she is stoked, right? And when she's stoked, like you're like, yeah, we're gonna, yeah, that's gonna be great. You know?
So true. And the idea, like you said right there, is like just be enthusiastic. It's just the idea of you get more out of things. Like, it's that old sports cliche. It's like, oh yeah, person A is, you know, got the talent, God-given talent, but person B is probably going to make the team because they've got the heart and desire, and they're going to do whatever it takes, right? And when you combine, when you have the ultimate player, or you know, who's like combines A and B characteristics, you're golden. Like, just recently, fortunately, Patrick Mahomes beat my Niners in the Super Bowl, but it's just like, that dude is him, man. Like, he can do whatever he wants because he's having
Yeah.
fun, but yet he's super talented, right?
He's
So.
having fun. He's got the eye of the tiger. Now it's, you know, it's funny. The eye of the tiger, it was another one that I sort of realized was like a real thing, you
Yeah.
know? But
Love it.
yeah, he certainly does. He certainly
One
does.
more question before we get into the spring breaking championships. Talk a little bit about like a dad hack or piece of advice. Could be for new dads, could be for any type of parent, what age, whatever. But is there something that you have a hack or a piece of advice you'd like to offer?
Don't tell people like this is gonna be hard. Like for like new dads, like you know, one of the things that you're gonna hear over and over and over and over is, oh, you better enjoy it. It goes fast. You better just enjoy every single moment because it goes fast. It goes fast. Like, dude, I know, and I'm enjoying it. I am getting the most out of every day that I have. Like, I promise.
Yeah.
And so I think this is sort of advice for all dads. But like dads who have been dads for a while, don't say that to people because it's annoying. And people that when you hear it, don't make it make you feel like you're doing something because you're not. You're doing great, right?
Yeah.
We're all doing great. We're, you know, we have a kid and we're like, okay, green stuff is coming out of it. What do? We figure it out, you know? Okay, it's crying. What do we do? Give it something to eat, right? You figure it out, you know, and when you're there, like you're gonna play Barbies and it's cool. Like I've been playing a lot of Barbies lately. You know, we've been playing a lot of Play-Doh, we've been painting a lot of stuff. Like we're there, like just be there, be present. know that you are there in your kid's life, and don't listen to people that tell you to savor every moment, because you are. You are savoring every moment, you know. So
Great perspective
relax.
and great piece of advice, because you know how sometimes we always joke, like the scene in Varsity Blues when James Vanderbeek dad, they're fighting about football, and he's like, I don't want your life, right? And like sometimes parents live vicariously through their kids. Well, maybe those dads are saying it goes by so fast. It's like maybe they realize that they weren't savoring the moments like you are, playing with the Barbies, playing with Play-Doh and all that other stuff. So yeah, you might give dads a compliment, like, wait, I thought we played hide and seek, and then like all of these other things we were doing, like I thought I am, right? So it's a good perspective to have, man.
Yeah, totally. You know, like you know if you're there, you know, like you know if your kid likes you,
Yeah. Kids are
you
so authentic, they'll tell you. Like they'll be like,
Oh man,
what?
yeah.
No,
Daddy, stop talking like
I know.
I
Yeah.
was singing. I think I was singing "Immigrant Song" by Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And from the back seat, Daddy, can you stop using your mouth?
Love it. So, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on Father. I really appreciate them. Congrats on all of your success, man. Like, my family and I are big fans of watching stuff on network and just everything. And I know you got a passion for music, also for sports and just art and all that good stuff. But Spring Bacon Championship is coming up. It's premiering on March 4th. You know, from a production standpoint and from hosting and all that, sometimes when you're watching something, let's just say like for animation, right? Or like, I'm a big like Star Wars fan. So, like, when anytime there's an animated series, I tell the voice actors, like, it's so good that we forget that maybe it's animator, that you're someone actually voicing and putting everything into it because it's just so good. When it comes to these shows, there's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of things that go behind that people don't really think about. So just talk about little, you know, how much goes into planning in terms of challenges, recipes, et cetera, just in the sense of like, hey, you were putting out a great product. People come to, you know, check out your show all the time. But like, talk a little bit about like, there is a lot of prep work, leg work, blood, sweat, and tears that goes into this, right, man?
There really is. Yeah, there's, you know, 100 people behind the scenes that are making this amazing show happen, you know. And so it starts, you know, the producers kind of come up with like the challenges, right? Okay, this is, you know, these are kind of the challenges. What's really cool about these shows is that right up to the day of production, like we walk in that day, we don't know what the challenges are. The producers will come to us, the judges, and they'll say, this is the challenge. If I say, you know what, that doesn't really make sense. I think you should make the challenge like, you know, basically what you said, but like to really be like culinarily correct, it should be kind of like this. They actually really listen to it.
Nice.
So I think that's one of the reasons why when you see the challenges, it's not like dumb reality TV stuff. You know what I mean? Like make a gingerbread house in 60 seconds with a monkey stapled to your foot. You know what I mean? Like it's not. You know what I mean? Like you're getting like real stuff, and so I think it's just sort of like it's just easier. It's got a little more harmony the way that the viewer is watching. It just makes sense. And then like, I mean, every department is amazing. Our art department is incredible. They come up with these incredible sets. They build these amazing things overnight. So like, if one episode you see us like come out of a little house, they built that in 24 hours. Right. And then the next day we're inside of a spaceship. Then they built that. Like, it's amazing what these guys do. And I'm like a super redneck. Like I have a wood shop. I make a lot of stuff. And so I'm always like over in the art department. I'm like, hey, what do you guys got? What is it? Ooh, is that a Festool table saw? Ooh, you guys got a budget this year. You know, like I'm like, I love it. I love it. But
Nice.
I think probably one of the hardest working departments that we have is our culinary. The thing is, you got 12 chefs that are all cooking all this crazy stuff, and you have to be ready for anything that they're going to ask for.
Yeah.
They want Luxardo cherries, you better have Luxardo cherries. They want candy ginger, better have it. You know, like the way that our culinary department, and it's big, I mean, it's, you know, 20 people, they're the ones that are making sure that there's eggs and butter and flour and chocolate and all the different things that you see. Plus, they're the ones that make sure all the equipment is working. They make sure that every station is spotless when they walk in the morning. Like their job is so insane. And when you see as a restaurant chef, like I grew up, like I worked at McDonald's, I worked at French Laundry, I've worked at ski resorts and hotels. Like I've worked in a lot of kitchens. When you see this kitchen that is being run, but for a television show, it's absolutely fascinating because there's a lot of similarities, but there's also a lot of
Nice, man. Yeah, and that, I appreciate the insight on that. And my family and I will sit down and watch these shows, and we just marvel, especially like the timing aspect. And it's like, all right, here's a time challenge. And I know that you're well versed in all different forms of baking and cooking, but if you were put on these shows, and I know you've done also too, where you had taken part in challenges. If there's one that you can ace, like I don't care a time, I got this. Which is the one that you'd ace no matter the time contest, and which is the other one just because of like you wanted to come out the best you possibly can for this contest, and you have a time limit, you're like, oh, I'm not gonna get it like the way I want it. Like, so what's like the easiest like type of food or type of like recipe, and then like that e the easiest for you, and which would be the hardest for you?
I've competed a lot,
Yes, you
and
have.
I'd say I'm probably batting like 0.006. I lose all the time. I'm a terrible competitor on those shows. Funny, so they keep having me back, but I'm not very good at competing because I'm sort of like I have singular focus when it comes to, okay, this is my idea, and I cannot. Like this is what I want to make, and this is what I'm going to make. And if I have 2 hours, maybe it's going to take me 2 hours and 15 minutes. But this is what I'm going to make. Like it's just that's what I do. I am constantly shooting myself in the foot. So really, like time challenges are terrible for me. I think. I mean, but, I think savory time challenges are a lot easier
Okay.
because obviously, like. Making a stir fry, is a little different than, baking up the perfect chocolate chip cookie. You know what I
Nice.
mean? There's timing that goes, there's timing that goes into a good stir fry. Don't get me wrong. Like, there's good stir fry and there's bad stir fry. I mean, but they happen fast. It's a, it happens fast. With cookies, like the cookies don't care if you're in a hurry. You know what I mean? Like the bell peppers and the onions and the diced chicken might work with you a little bit, but like
Yeah.
the cookies are like cats. They don't care. Like they just don't care. So,
I know you have a fantastic merch store. There is like a couple of slogans that should be made into shirts instantly from what you were just saying right there. Cookies are like cats, and cookies don't care about your time. I love that,
right?
man. Two more questions before we finish off with the Father Quick Five. And again, I appreciate you being generous with your time. So, I've listened to a couple of interviews. I've seen you, you're working all this stuff. I know you also have a passion for music. At what age did you find a passion for music? And was there an artist or band that was a catalyst? And do you feel like that helped you to where you are in the cooking world, in the baking world?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, like when I was a kid, I used to play all my parents' records. I could sing the entire album of the soundtrack to Grease
Nice.
when I was like six,
Yeah.
they had Kenny Rogers, The Gambler. I used to listen to that over and over.
This
My
is such a
very
Gen
first
X thing, by
record.
the way. Listening
Oh
to
yeah,
records over
totally.
and over again and singing them. I was,
Oh
I love
yeah. You know what's cool? Like just in like the past like month, my very first vinyl, my own, the one that like I went out and got was the Eurythmics.
Oh.
And my daughter loves Trolls, the movie. And Sweet Dreams was like in the movie. And I played like the real version of it for her. She loves it. And we have these like sing-alongs. We also sing along to Africa by Toto, like at the top of our lungs. Like we have like crazy
As you
singing.
should, as you
Yeah, it's
should.
funny. I got a real here's a funny, I got a name drop. This is really funny. So I was going to be on the Kelly Clarkson show. And I was like, hey, I'm bringing my family with me. So, I'm gonna drive myself. And I got like the car seat, the baby, all this stuff. And so they were like, oh, you can pull your truck. I got a big F-150. Like, you can pull your truck right in front of the studio and we'll have a spot right there. So when it's time for you to come in, you can just walk on in and bring your family. I was like, cool, it's perfect. So we get there, and I was like 40 minutes early, right? And this was right during COVID, so they didn't want us in the building. So they didn't want us like sitting in the green room. We didn't really want to be in the building. So we were just hanging out in my truck. And my daughter was sitting on my lap. She was probably like 1 and a half at this point. And we are blasting Black Sabbath, right? Like we're bl like blasting, like yeah, and like she's like on my lap and she's just like doing this and I'm doing this, you know, we're just sitting there dancing and we got the window down and like people are walking by. Nick Offerman walks by and like stops and he kind of like looks at me, looks at my daughter, and he just goes and he keeps walking. I was like, yes.
Like a scene out of Park and Rec, right? Like, that's so
It was
awesome, man.
so funny. It was so funny.
Is
And then like
amazing, man.
later, like he didn't know I was. And then later, like on the show, I was doing like a baking segment and he was part of the segment. And so it was him and Anna Kendrick, who's also in Trolls, which is crazy. And so then I walked out for the segment. He was like, oh, the Black Sabbath guy, what's up?
Is fantastic, man.
It was
All
great.
right, I'm gonna ask you to name drop again because obviously you can tell I'm a Star Wars fan. I love the fact that you voice a character on the Clone Wars, and you also were making a cake for Lucasfilm. I think like an R2D2 cake, and there was like
Yeah.
a couple of things. I think going back to football, if I think about the interview correctly, you like watched the Ravens game on their Jumbotron and all that stuff. Just talk to
Yeah.
me about like how cool that Lucasfilm experience was, man.
All right, we're making this R2D2 cake, and it's for the I think it was for like the it was the wrap party for, you know, one of the seasons of the Clone Wars. So they wanted us to like come up, make the cake, and I was like, look, you know, we were really like straight faced. I was like, I really want to put a lot into it. So like if we're gonna be there, we're gonna have to be there for about a week. And they were like, okay, you can stay at the Skywalker Ranch and you know, we'll have like a we'll like have a like one of the conference rooms inside Lucasfilm. You could work in there and you can use our kitchen. And I was like, yeah, that'll work. Right. So I bring my brother with me, who's also just a massive, like the way we feel about Star Wars, like you feel about Star Wars. It is our mythology. It is our moral compass. You know, Star Wars, you know, it's a lot more than just movies. You get it. And so, you know, this is how we feel about this stuff. Same thing with Indiana Jones. Same thing the way I feel about George Lucas. Like George Lucas, you know, was the guy that made it cool to be into all this nerdy stuff. And like, you know, he was like, yeah, like space magic and laser swords, man, do it. Like, go for it. Like, it's awesome. Right. And so we go there and, you know, we set up and everything. Like, okay, well, before we get started, we got to, you know, give you the tour. So they take us into like the vault, right? Where there's literally every single Star Wars prop is in this giant building. And we got to just wander around with
Man.
a guide
Yeah.
and just would explain, okay, what's that? Oh, and they would know the whole history of everything, right? So we got to see all that stuff. It was crazy. Then we got to go to the vault where all the Indiana Jones stuff is.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I got to get inside of the cage from Temple of Doom. And they like shut it. Like I was in that cake. It was amazing. It was
That's a
amazing.
start lowering you
Right?
down for some reason. Like, what
Oh my God.
the
Yeah, do it. I'm like, I'm ready. This is it. Right? It's good. And then we're making the cake and we were making this R2D2 and we wanted the head to go side to side. This thing was life size, it was big, right? And so we wanted the head to sort of look around. It's easy to make things spin in a circle. It's not easy to make them do this. And so we're trying to figure it out. So some of the engineers from Lucasfilm came in, took me into their shop, and the three of us built this cammed, almost like a train, like a choo-choo train, right? Like a an offset axle on a wheel. And they they were like, yeah, we know how to do this. Let's do this. And so part of the cake was engineered by the guys who engineered, a Star Destroyer crashing into the Death Star. Right. So that was amazing. Right. My head just exploded constantly just the whole time. Right. There was so much. Anyways, there's a Ravens game on. We're in the playoffs and we're working on the cake. And I was like, hey, do you think, to the people that were sort of shepherding us around, I was like, do you think you could get a TV in here or something just so we can watch the game while we're working? Because we are all massive Ravens fans. And a lot of the decorators were friends with the players' wives. Like they were like, we really have a close relationship with the Ravens. And I don't want to talk about it, by the way. So, because
I
I'm,
feel your pain. Trust me.
oh, God, yes, yeah, yes, you do. So they were like, yeah, we'll figure something out. So then the day of the game, next day where we go in, there's no TV. And I was like, hey, what's up? And they were like, yeah, we couldn't really get a TV in the thing. And I was like, you made Star Wars. Like in 1977, you may said you can't figure out how to get a TV into a conference room. Come on. And then the guy on the counter winks at me. He's like, here, come with me. And so he takes us, all of us, our whole the whole crew, all my decorators, everybody. We get to go into George Lucas's personal theater with a popcorn machine and watch the game. And it was like queued up right at kickoff, and they hit
Oh,
play. And I think was it somebody ran back a touchdown and we beat the Patriots, and it was just one of the most amazing experiences of my life. Then, so we make the cake, it's amazing. And I'm that like you know the, all the you know Dave Filoni's there, the whole cast of everybody of the whole crew, everybody who worked on Clone Wars is there, and they want me to say something, and I'm like, okay. And so I bring the cake out, and I just started talking about how just what an amazing influence George Lucas had been on me. He wasn't there, and I was like, oh, is he gonna be here? And they're like, no, he's in Japan or something. And I was like, okay, whatever. And so I'm going on and on and on. And as I'm just talking about how genuinely how I feel about this company and all these movies and just what it means to me, I'm looking at my brother who's standing kind of right in front of me. Like I'm sort of at a microphone, he's kind of out there with the crowd. And he's standing right in front of me, and his eyes get really big, and he kind of looks like he's about to poop his pants. And I feel a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and it's George Lucas. And he had heard all the things I had just said about him, and I cried a little. And I asked him for some notes on the cake, and he was like, "It's great." And he really went into it, and he was looking at it and talking about it. He was like the coolest guy. Like he was so nice and down to earth and really appreciative. And it was just, it's one of those moments where imagine getting to tell one of your absolute heroes everything that you truly feel about him, And I got to do that, and it was just, it's crazy. Yeah.
your Venn diagram was just like full, like of everything, right?
Yeah, just absolutely magic. And while we were there, they were doing all of the sound design for How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so we got to kind of see part of how they were doing that. There's a separate theater there where there's only one seat right in the middle of it and a big mixing board. And that's where they, mix movies and do all the stuff. Like it's crazy. And now whenever I see that movie, it brings me back, and I'm like, oh yeah, I met those guys, and they were showing me how that thing worked, and yeah, that's so cool,
That's fantastic. Thank you for indulging me with that story, Duff. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet, man.
We're gonna finish off with the Father Quick Five. Favorite family movie? Do you have one?
Oh man, I'd say our favorite family show is it's How It's Made. You ever
Okay.
watch that show?
Yeah.
She loves the theme song.
That's
And she
awesome.
does this little dance. But then, like, she loves watching, like, she's like, you know, like at night when it's sort of getting ready for bed, she's like, can we watch the factory show? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And so it's like, you know, today on How It's Made, like airplane propellers, ketchup, door handles, like, you know, and then you
Yeah.
just watch how those things are made. And it's pleasant. She loves seeing like the machines and the like conveyor belts and stuff. She
It's
also likes
fun and
BattleBots.
educational though too. So it's
Yeah.
yeah. I'm sorry, what'd you say? What was the other thing?
She likes BattleBots too. We love
Oh.
BattleBots. That's
Okay.
like our, we love that show. Have you ever watched it?
Yep, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's
One of my
great.
friends out in California, him and his young one of his sons, like they try and make different ones and they try and compete and stuff, like for just with friends and stuff. So yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Favorite maybe it's blacks out, but favorite genre of music or band you couldn't introduce her to.
Well, the very first song she ever heard, she was about 2 hours old, was I'll Fly Away by Alison Krauss.
Okay.
Really beautiful moment. It's a beautiful song, you know, and I thought that would be like a good introduction to just like how wonderful music can be, you know. But you know, we like everything. There's a this
Yeah.
like our favorite like record as a family, it's very obscure. It's by a band called Hubba Bubba Club.
Okay.
Yeah, so you should search this. It's
Okay.
Hubba Bubba Club, all one word, and club with a K. And it's a band of like Swedish, it's like a super group of Swedish DJs.
Awesome. I'm
And
definitely
there's this one song called Moped Bart that is it's just great. And like we road trip a lot, and so like this was one of the records like we can put it on and like start to finish. Like as a baby, she's just like just loved it, and we do too. It's a
Bubba
great
Club.
record.
Love it,
Yeah,
man. I'll definitely check it
check
out.
it
Thanks for the info.
out. Yeah.
Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Oh man, I would say we would get like a fresh National Parks pass, and just road tripping. Road
Nice.
tripping is the way to go, man. We have so, and we've done it a lot. Like my wife loves to road trip. My daughter, like, it's amazing. She will like stare out the window for like an hour. And
Yeah.
the cool thing is I remember as a kid staring out the window for hours and hours during road trips. And I just, you know, you get to that place and you let your mind go. And I think what's neat is like I've recognized in my daughter that she's a thinker.
Yeah.
And I remember sometimes adults getting frustrated with me when I was thinking about stuff, you know, because usually when you're thinking about stuff, you're either just kind of, you know, you're a little zoned out. You know what I mean? And I remember like people like not wanting me to be zoned out, you know? And I really try to give her that space. Like when I see her and she's just sort of staring off into space, like I leave it alone. And like, yeah, like
Yeah.
go there, make those connections, understand the world, figure it out, like replay that conversation, you know, whatever it is, whatever you're figuring out, man, keep going, keep going.
Sign of a good dad right there. It's just because you experienced it as a kid yourself, and you felt like you experienced when people said like, "All right, come on, snap out of it." You know, hey, I'm asking you a question, right? And you see your daughter wanting to be a thinker. Most kids are. They're on a road trip, they're like their nose is in an iPad or some type of game or watching a movie, which is all fine and like whatever, but like it's really
Totally.
cool that your daughter's taking in nature and just like just the world around her. So that's amazing, man.
Yeah, we sing songs. She reads book, you know, she like pretends to read, she'll read to us, you know, like she plays with stuffed animals, like no iPad in the car. Absolutely no iPad in the car. There is too much good stuff to look at. Even driving around LA, like, whoa, look at that guy. You know,
But
like
also too, it's letting them use their own imagination, right?
yeah.
Not having someone like an app do it. So I love that. And not looking for one specific thing in the sense like there's probably a bunch, but like, I mean, I think you shared in that Lucasfilm story alone. But is there a surreal moment where you're just kind of like, how the heck did I get here? Like, do you have like one of those? Because I bet you have a bunch of them, but is there one you want to share besides Lucas one, Lucasfilm?
Oh man. Yeah, there's been several. It's really, I mean, it'd be hard to pick just one.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like, especially for you in your industry, and I'm not like, and it's not, it's almost like, hey, brag about that. Like, I'm not looking for that. I'm just saying, like, the idea of like when your brother I started opening up and seeing George Lucas right there, and you're like, what? And that was just an awesome, real moment because you didn't know he was there. You were sharing your thoughts on your love for Star Wars and what he did. So I'm even cool with that. Like, you've been very generous with your time, so we can move on to the last one. But like, just that
Sure.
story alone means a lot to me because I'm like, that would be awesome, man. Like, what's like
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon or someone does the thing where it's behind the curtain, like, what does this person mean to you? And all of a sudden it's like The Rock or whoever it is comes out and they're like, oh my God. Like, it's those moments that like you truly
Yeah.
cherish because you're being 100% honest about that person, you know?
Yeah. And I gotta tell you, man, it's really it's really helped me understand when somebody meets me and they're just really excited, it helps me I don't want to say empathize with them, like it's a bad thing, but it helps me just sort of, what it does, it helps me empathize with them. And there's been people that I've met that I'm like, I can't believe, I just met Spike Lee and I got to tell him all about what his movies meant to me. And it was such a lovely moment for me. I was just like, wow, I get to tell this guy, I love what you do. And I
Yeah.
didn't go cr I didn't I wasn't like, no, right? Spike Lee, he's got stuff to do, but having that second. And it's really helped me when people tell me what my, oh, this cake you made this one time, I was watching the show and you did this thing and I thought, man, I could do that. And when people tell me that story, I am like, I'm listening and I'm like, I want to hear this story. I want you to tell me this story. I really truly care because I know what it feels like to admire somebody and be like, listen, this has no bearing on your life whatsoever. I just want to tell you that you mean a lot to me. And that feels great. And I think that sometimes, I like when other Food Network chefs get a little uppity, I'm always like, you guys, you won the lottery, right? You could be a line cook at Chili's right now, right? I have random 10-year-olds that come up to me in the airport, give me high five. 10-year-old Duff would be like, nice. Adult Duff, you don't suck, and I'm stoked about that,
That's amazing, man. Love
you
it. Oh, I love it. And lastly, top three words you hope your daughter would use to describe you as a dad, what would you want them to be?
Oh man, I hope she thinks I'm cool. I hope she thinks that I hope she thinks that I hope she thinks I'm a good guide for her. I really want to I want to help her learn how to teach herself stuff. I don't like I'm going to teach her things, but I really want to help just sort of guide her and help her walk through those doors and take those leaps and do things that she's afraid to do. I want her to be that person. And I want her to be strong. I want her to be her own person. And I have a big personality, and I want to make sure that I don't give that to her. I want to give her the ability to discover her own. You know what I mean?
Love that.
Yeah. So that was probably more than three words.
But no, it's good. It's good. Again, it's a great, like, honestly, I know I put the three words out there, but dude, like, that answer is brilliant. Like, it shows that you really care about being a good dad, and that's why it's an honor to have you on. Again, I know we went a lot crazy over the time limit, but again, it's an honor to chat with you. People, follow Duff on Instagram at Duff Goldman for more on his just everything. Go to his website at duff.com. I wish you and your family continued success. And again, it's an honor to chat with you, my friend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for having me. This was really fun.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I really appreciate your support. And I also appreciate Alta for sponsoring this week's episode. Kat and Andrew are doing really great things over at their site at altaforlife.com. They have worked with hundreds of clients. They've grown exclusively by word of mouth, and they pride themselves on getting results for their clients in a way that doesn't disrupt any other priorities such as family, friends, travel, or career. So if you are looking to live a healthier lifestyle, if you're looking to achieve goals in fitness, weight loss, wellness, make sure you check out altaforlife.com and see how Andrew and Kat can help you achieve your goals. And while you're on the internet, please go to artoffatherhood.net, rate, subscribe, and review to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I greatly appreciate it. I've had overwhelming support in the last few years. Love the reviews, love the ratings. Thank you so much for that. Make sure you also go to the website, check out the different articles, reviews, different stories on fatherhood and just pop culture. And also there are chances for giveaways and prizes. So check out my website over at artoffatherhood.net. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.